KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Oh, it's Amigos. It's hour number two. We'll focus on the black and gold. Gus Kattengill, Jay Hargrave, Pepito here at Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in if you would like to. Or you can tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Jay, before we continue to get your opinions on the black and gold, let's welcome you to this Friday show.
I'd rather not be welcome.
Can't hear you. I'm listening to music.
I don't hear any music.
That's terrible.
It is not that bad. That almost sounded like Rebecca Black in
Stop
the background.
At ESPN Radio NOLA, here's your question for hour number two. What is the key? What is the key for your New Orleans Saints this week? And as they are in Carolina, so what is the key for you for a victory? What is the key, Jay Hargrave, that the Saints have got to do for them to win this week?
I'm not sure it's what the Saints can do, but I think if Carolina doesn't show up, we got a pretty good shot.
No, I think the key is simple. Saints defense got to stop the run. Carolina can't pass right now.
Gus, I think the reason I say the season's over is I think this team has tuned out Sean Payton. I really do. And I just don't – what I keep asking people who tell me, oh, well, it's not over, it's not over. What have you seen in the first two games that makes you think anything's going to change? What makes you think that we're going to be able to stop the run? We haven't been able to do it yet.
Oh, you're looking for me for answers? Because I don't
But who does?
Well, Tyler Davidson on if the Carolina Panthers, and there goes Pepita with the panic sounder. It's not panic just yet. I said panic 0-4.
It sounds like
no,
it.
No, panic 0-4. Because then I told you that week of the bye week we'll have a jazz funeral. We'll have a jazz funeral for a show.
I just don't know what this team's going to do in Carolina because I don't see any adjustment. I see the same team out there in the first 2 weeks that was out there last year.
Well, here's your problem.
That was out there the year before.
Here's your problem. You know what your problem is?
A lot of them, but I mean, I don't know if we have enough time to get into them all.
No, your problem is you're not seeing what they're seeing. You're seeing a different game. A.J. Klein?
I think it's almost there. I think we're just a step behind right now. All the pieces are there. You pull up the tape, you see a lot of positive things, but right now we're just a split second behind on making these big plays, and especially up front. I mean, as far as pressure, we did a great job in the preseason getting pressure on the quarterbacks, and we're right there. And if you go down and break the tape, I mean, our D-line is right there. We just have to do better in the back end of covering and giving them a few extra seconds.
Defensive back P.J. Williams.
We're really close. You know, this week, you know, we just need to come together a little more, you know, put in that time in the film room and the practice, do all the little things right, and it will take care of the big things.
See? Sheldon Rankins, mental or physical errors are the issue, Jay?
Yeah. Like I said, it's the little things. You know, not communicating on pass rush games or, you know, coverages on the back end. But, you know, that's the goal this week, clean up the little things and be able to go out and execute, play fast, and get off the field.
That was Marcus Williams, sorry, before Sheldon Rankins there. This is P.J. Williams.
Feeling. Definitely. I feel like we're definitely close, man. We can definitely challenge any team. We just got to execute the calls every single play.
I mean, just got to execute the calls. It's little things. They're right there. I mean, Jay, this team is not far from winning per the players. I don't understand why you think they can't change.
New game show.
What?
Name that loss.
Oh, come on.
Okay, you go back and play losses. Go play sound bites from the 2014 losses,
right?
The 2015 losses, and the 2016 losses. Same thing. You had a game show, and you played a sound bite from a Saint after a loss. It doesn't matter what game you say, you're right, because it's the same sound bite after every loss with this team. When is somebody going to get mad and throw a helmet into a locker and start cursing people out?
Drew Brees says they're not close. I mean, they're not far away either.
No,
I wouldn't say we're
not
out of sync. I would say that we've had some missed opportunities.
Right there.
I feel like we've put together some good drives. Unfortunately,
not enough of them have resulted in touchdowns.
Hey, it's at least 3 points, Jay.
Yes, three points.
Again, though, would you rather zero?
I would rather them not score seven and us score three. Because after six possessions, that's 24 points, Gus. I don't care how you look at it, you're getting your behind kicked. This team is getting beat.
They're close.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
to
we're just
what?
We're just a we've missed a couple things just by, you know, a very small margin.
Just a bit outside.
But listen, it's a small margin for error in this business. I think the more time we have together, the better we get. I can't blame anything that happened in the last game because of, you know, a lack of time on task or anything like that. I think we just had a couple that were just wasn't able to make the play. You know, however that was.
That's what I've been saying. Look, you can't not have Cooks. You cannot have Snead and think the offense is just going to run the way it was. I've been saying that for weeks. You're seeing it. It's literally a yard difference. It's him, you know, Ted Ginn going straight. Breeze thinks he's going to break to the pylon and the ball falls on the ground instead of being caught for a touchdown. He's open. It's just miscommunication, Jay.
You hit the nail on the head.
Right.
He had who did Drew Brees have the most problems with in that game, being on in sync with Ted Ginn, Alvin Kamara. Okay, let's go back to preseason. All these people who say preseason doesn't mean anything.
I 100% agree with you.
Hardly played.
When you are seeing what the offense looks like right now, maybe they should have had a few more drives.
And look, I get it. You're playing defensive ends that like to rush, and I said the same thing. It's smart to keep him out, but maybe you put him in there and keep a back end to chip that defensive end so he doesn't get to Drew.
Michael Thomas getting a lot more attention, and we said this. We said this was going to happen. I mean, you cannot not have Snead out for four games. I mean, again, no offense, but defenses are not going, oh, no. How are we going to cover Ted Ginn Jr. and that Tommy Lee Lewis guy? I'm not saying they're bad players. No one's fearing them. No one's double-teaming them, right? They're double-teaming Michael Thomas. And he had a nice game against the Patriots, which is why I got even more infuriated, because they didn't go to him enough, I thought, against Minnesota. You know? They could have used him a lot more, especially in the red zone opportunities, 1-for-5. You didn't go to him. You went to Coleman and others. Point is, Michael Thomas this week talked about, has he gone and tried to sought out advice on how to handle the fact that he is going to see more attention, and what exactly do you do?
Yeah, I mean, just your opportunities when they come, you just have to be that much desperate, that much, have that much sense of urgency to make those to because that might be the only time you might get that matchup, or you might have the chance to touch the ball because they're bringing everyone to your side, or just however the game goes. But, you know, don't put your head down about it. It's you know, actually some people say it's kind of comes as respect or different things like that, but ultimately, you know, me being second year young guy, I still want to touch the ball and help this offense move the ball. So whatever I could do to do that and add value, I'm going to do it. And as long as we're winning games, we're trying to win games here.
And he said the other thing too that's interesting is the biggest point of this right now, whether it's Ginn or Lou, I mean, you can't drop us, you know, an outside route, you know, quick out like he did. And
took his eyes off it.
He's like, he's at the bottom, end of the day, bottom line. Everyone's just got to do their job.
Of course, that can be frustrating just because you know what the standard is here. You know what people are looking for. We know what when coach calls a play, what he's drawing it up for. He's not drawing it up for us to move backwards. He's drawing up for us to move forward and put points on the board. So ultimately, we have a lot of new guys. You know, a lot of new guys here this year. It might just be a thing where everyone's trying to gel together and get it together. Although we know we have to go out to a fast start, it is what it is. But I feel like we have all the talent on this side of the ball to move the ball and put points on the board and pick up where we left off last year.
Lack of snaps in preseason, lack of time on task, as Breeze likes to call it. Jay, you're asking me why do I think it's going to get better? I think it's going to get better because the more they play together, it's going to be there. I think, again, like we were talking in hour number one with LSU fans, this isn't the past. This isn't the teams that they've had. This is a new squad, new talent, new philosophies, new whatever, and you have to adjust to it. And I think it just takes time, and it's hard when you face teams that are in, you know, the stages above you right now. I mean, They're further along, further advanced. Minnesota's further along. They were 11-5 2 years ago, 8-8 last year when they lost Bridgewater and Peterson. They're starting running back and quarterback. They went 8-8. I don't know if the Saints could do that, you know? And you play the defending champs after a beating at home. So I think it is going to get better. It's not time just yet for Pepito to he already has it at the ready. That's how much confidence he has. That's ridiculous.
I've got to agree with him.
Is it time?
No, it's not time. I can't even believe
we're already in the French Quarter.
But they are who we thought they were.
I mean, you already have the Jazz funeral music ready to
already.
Go.
Already. It's prepped.
And I can't argue with him.
Oh, come on.
Look, it's going to get better.
There's 14
but here's the
games
thing, Gus,
left.
Here's the thing. There's 14 games left. And look, let's go back. You know what I thought of? Remember Fletcher Mackel interviewing Jim Mora last year? I know what Fletcher was trying to say. He was trying to say, I know the season's not over, and maybe he didn't phrase
and
the question.
Do you remember what
Mora
said?
Mora went off on him.
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that. No, the season's at all. Jeez.
But here's what Fletcher was trying to get to. It's like what I asked you. What have you seen that makes you believe this is going to turn around? Stop me when you've heard this song before. The Saints get off to a bad start. Things get better, and they start to win a few games, and they finish at 7-9 again. That's what everybody sees, another 7-9 season.
Right.
All we keep hearing is we're close. We've heard that for 4 years. My follow-up question would be is, when is everybody going to start doing their job?
But here's the thing. Like I've been talking about for weeks here. You have, and Raphael gives me another thumbs up. Thumbs down, rather. Go over the starting defensive line.
Right now, Davidson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rankins.
Okay, stop there. What year are they in? Second.
Rankins in second. Davidson second.
One of the linebackers you're counting on is Anzalone.
Okay. Which we can get
Klein,
into that discussion.
First year here. Okay, I hear you. Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore, rookies. P.J. Williams was second year. Ken Crawley. Here's another thing that's interesting. He ran with the ones a ton in training camp.
Yes.
He's been inactive the last two games. He was asked this week. Well, he was asked this week, what's it like being inactive the first two games when you ran with the ones a lot?
I say it got with me a little bit, but I always keep my head high and keep working. I've seen it as motivation just to keep getting better. And each and every week, I just kept getting better and just staying on what I do best.
Now, look, Marshawn Lattimore, concussion protocol this week. Good chance he's not going to play. Ken Crawley sure sounds like he is. Listen.
You got to always be in position when your number's called to go in, you know, and just make plays and be there for the defense. So, I mean, it's something we get used to around here.
And he was pretty much asked, are you going to be ready Sunday?
I'm ready. This is a big opponent for us, a must-win game, conference play, and we just got to go there and find this win.
Again, I'm not ripping anybody. Just, you know, Devontae Harris seeing more snaps, yet Crawley was a guy that was seeing a lot more time with the one. I'm using Sean Payton's words here. There are a lot of dirty hands.
There are a lot of dirty hands, and he needs to look in the mirror first.
Absolutely.
Because who said Alex Anzalone is going to start? Okay, he was directly involved in two touchdowns, being out of position. Who's he starting in front of?
We're not interested.
Craig Robertson.
Vaughn Anthony's gone because of him.
Craig Robertson. Yeah. You don't think maybe a veteran who led this team on defense last year might be a little bit more valuable to you out there when you've got three rookies starting who were in college last year? You don't think maybe Robertson would have been a better move? What has Devontae Harris done that you sit back in your living room and say, that's a good move that they started him over Ken Crawley?
Here's Craig Robertson talking about the if he thought the injury issue was the issue with Stephon Anthony. Remember, I played the bite from Stephon in our number one. He said he's healthy.
Yeah.
That's all that call. Like I said before, we're all players. All we can do is control what we control, so we can't really control stuff that happens behind closed doors. We don't make those decisions at all.
Boy, he wanted to get away from that question as quickly as possible. He was asked about the linebacker group now that he's gone.
We just got to figure out, you know, how to make plays as a unit. Just make more plays, make some splash plays here and there. And, I mean, we'll do that as time comes, as guys get more comfortable and all this.
And bottom line, this game on Sunday, Robertson says, it's a big one.
I mean, it's a very important game for us all the way around. A game that means everything, division game, game for us to get us rolling. You know what I'm saying? It's once you get that first one, then, you know, you tend to start rolling a little bit. So, you know, we're just trying to get our first one and just get ready to roll. We know what our opponent brings to the table. You know, also just being familiar with them, playing them twice a year. But we just know we just come out to make plays and start fast.
We'll hear a little bit more from Drew Brees when we come back.
I saw enough. Period. I mean, it was enough.
I think this team can go 2-2 into the bye. Raphael's looking at me like.
I think Raphael wants you to reach to put a wallet now.
I do. I think, again. I think they're going to be better the more they play together.
I'll be happy with 1-3. I'll be
honest
with
you. How many points did the Patriots have in the second half? Six.
Six. But you take your foot off the accelerator when you score 30 in the first half.
That's what you're going with? Raphael shaking his head. So Tom Brady and the Patriots took their foot off the accelerator. Is that what you're going with?
Look, you're not trying to score. You're trying to take time off the clock in the second half.
They wanted to leave. They wanted to go home.
Go look at the Saints Super Bowl year. They did the exact same thing.
Sports Hangover continues next live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap on ESPN.
Believe in us, too. I believe they do. Everything that I've heard from people has been very positive.
Hey, yes, Pepito. Quarterback Drew Brees.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't, but Drew Brees did. He says, hang in there, Jay Hargrave. I don't know why you don't want to hang in there. You're ready to.
I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there for another 7-9 season.
Oh, boy. Eric on Twitter, at GCAT_173. What do you call the little red lights on top of an aim? I guess the red light. Little flashy red light.
Lights.
Okay. Well, the red light emoji. Three of them. Panic alert. Hashtag Who Dat Nation has pushed the panic button. Have you pushed the panic button?
I'm not panicking. I've just accepted the fact that I think the season's over.
Wow.
I'm not panicking. I just don't see how this team's going to turn it around.
If Cam Newton wins the Offensive Player of the Week, yes.
What if Christian McCaffrey wins it?
If Cam Newton wins it.
I could see him go. I could see Cole.
Stop.
He will after Sunday.
No, they're not going to have Cole offensive MVPs.
Oh, he's going to be MVP of the year after Sunday.
Stop
I hate
it.
Saying that, but
anyway,
it's possible
at
the
ESPN
way we look
Radio
right now.
Nola. Also at GCAT_17 if you like to tweet at us as well. David on the LSU thing says this wasn't supposed to be a total rebuild for LSU. Wasn't part of the reason O was hired was because he was solid. Well, he sold Oliva on continuity in recruiting. For one, more discipline, a better offense. The offense looked better last year under Ensminger. So he's kind of on your end.
That's
right
a fair statement. It did look better under Ensminger. And look, again, it's Canada's third game. You got to give him a chance. But you cannot see another bad performance. You really need to make a statement against Syracuse.
Who Dat in Tennessee says the Saints need three things, a respectable threat across from Thomas, Michael Thomas that is, health along the offensive line, and better defensive back play. Again, you know, when we talk about the muddy hands and things of that nature, remember, this team, this coaching staff wanted to trade Delvin Bro. You don't think you could use Delvin Bro right now?
Absolutely. But here's my point. Look, that was the first time I had a chance, and I can't watch the games on Sunday, so I have to tape them and go back and watch it. It was the first game I've watched and listened to Tony Romo. He's phenomenal.
I think he's fantastic.
He is
Pepito
absolutely
and I
phenomenal.
Talked about that earlier.
And, Gus, he said something early in the game.
Yes,
he said
did.
That The Patriots came out with their fullback set, and he hasn't seen this much fullback usage in years in the NFL. What does that tell you? Bill Belichick and his offensive coaches game planned, and they came up with something different. Do you see something different from the Saints coaching staff? No.
Well, they had
same plays, same strategy.
They had a three-day head start.
We got beat by a team with three wide receivers.
Stop it. You got beat by the Patriots.
They came to
they
the Superdome.
They beat a lot of people.
They had three wide receivers,
what?
And your defense looked terrible.
Pepito, it sure sounds like he's panicking.
That was painful to watch.
Sure sounds like he's panicking. You know what?
I'm venting.
Let me calm you down. Drew Brees, on the mindset this team will have this week.
Listen, we're doing our absolute best in regards to preparation to try to win the game
See?
During the week.
Absolute
you know,
best.
If you have that type of mindset, you focus on the process, then you feel like the result will take care of itself. You know, it's a divisional opponent, it's on the road. It's a very good team. It's a team that's 2-0, that's playing with a lot of confidence.
But, you know, we're just, man, waiting to break the seal. And I feel like it can be this week. I hope it's this week.
I'm going 2016 loss to Carolina. Come Is that on. What that one was from?
No. No.
You sure?
Yes.
You might want to play 2016 loss to Carolina and look, see if that was said.
History will tell you. Mr. Vegas over there, right? You look at history. You look at the past games. All right. Well, the past games will tell you the last five was 5 points or less or something. The last three were 3 points exactly. It's going to be a close game. What? Why are you saying it's going to be?
So if it's not a close game, are you going to play the panic button and take it away from Pepito and put it on your computer? If it's not a close
game.
You know
what? I need more motivation. Let's go back to Drew Brees. Exactly.
Yes.
Let's go back to Drew Brees, who says, you know what?
I'm thankful.
You're thinking of Sunday as to whether or not this game is going to be won. It's Friday. It's already over. It's done. Practice has already ended by today. The decision on whether or not there was going to be a win or loss has already been done, according to Drew Brees.
I mean, step by step. And I think you have to start with the process and the preparation. And just understanding that you don't just go out on Sunday and snap your fingers and it happens. There's so much that goes into the preparation for game day that, you know, we talk about winning the game before you even play it. You know, winning the game before you get there. And then you go out and the game becomes fun. You know, things slow down because you've seen it so many times on film or you've practiced it so many times or you've anticipated or visualized it in your head. And I think once you begin to, you know, reap the benefits or see the success from the work, from the preparation, that's what breeds then the confidence and creates the momentum.
So, CJ, to your point, you just said it, that the Patriots had a nice game plan. They won the game Monday through Friday. And Drew Brees is saying that's what they did this week.
Good, great, grand, wonderful.
You know what that makes me think of?
What?
That makes me think of with the eighth pick in the 2018 draft, the New Orleans Saints select.
Well, if you're going with eight, then I don't. That's a little better. Isn't that 9-7?
No. We were 7-9 and picked what? 15th?
11th. You don't even know when they picked.
11th? No, we weren't 11, were we?
Yeah, 11. It was Marshawn Lattimore.
That's right. You're right.
You want more?
More sound bites? Yeah, give me...
Hey, you know who the secret weapon's going to be this week?
Give me a 2015 loss.
Secret weapon, Mark Ingram. Raphael just rolled his eyes. Drew Brees.
I'm speechless.
Hey, Drew Brees loves him some Mark Ingram.
Listen, that's impressive. It's impressive at the running back position. You know, that's a tough position to play. It's a very physical one. One where, you know, typically guys get beat up, you know, pretty often. You know, I think he's... I've really appreciated his career. You know, he came in when, you know, Pierre was a guy and we had Sproles and, you know, Mark just, you know, Mark kind of had his role, but then he was banged up, you know, quite a bit early on. And then he just kind of found his way and not only became a great, you know, downhill runner for us, but just all purpose. I mean, there's, again, I think he's one of the best all purpose backs in the league. When you account for what he does, just running the ball between the tackles, outside the tackles, what he does in the pass protection. In the past game, we split him out when he's out of the backfield. I think he's really a complete player.
Okay, this is a serious question for you. Not having fun, just a serious question. Do you think maybe the Saints need to pick a back, maybe even Mark, roll with it for a bit in this game?
Absolutely. I mean, look, even LSU does multiple backs, but they go with one guy, and then the other guy spells him. You don't have three guys interchanging the entire game. You have one guy gets the reps. When he's tired, second guy comes in to give him a break. Okay, you can't. One of the things I think is the problem with the Saints offense is Sean tries to get the running game and the passing game going at the same time. That's not the way it works. You come out and get the passing game going. Then
so you say pass first, run later.
Whatever you want to do. Okay. You can run first, pass later, but get something established, then go. He's trying to get everything going at the same time, and you're not getting anything going. Get your quarterback in rhythm. Drew needs to throw volume rep. That's why I say pass first, then get the running game introduced. If you get Drew hot and he starts that 70% completion clip, then the running game's going to follow. And then you got the reps to get guys in.
The reason I ask it is because, again, and I understand it's been Buffalo and it's been San Francisco, the two teams that Carolina's played this year.
Right.
Panthers. Number one ranked defense in the NFL. Sixth against the run. 136.5 in the air. makes them second in the NFL. They're giving up 60 yards on the ground and 135 in the air. Again, I get it. It's Buffalo, and it's the 49ers. And it was week one of the 49ers when they met them.
Right. Brian Hoyer's first week.
I think what we saw last week might have been a different game, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just think when you look at the history of these two teams going at it, the Saints, I think, need to establish the run game first.
I'm not sure you're going to be able to do that, Gus. Their defense is stout. I think what you have to do is come up with a game plan that's going to allow you to maybe use a short pass as your running game and get that established.
Well, to your point, if that's the case, then who am I using?
Kamara would make more sense than anybody. Are you willing to do that? I'm not sure Sean's willing to do that.
Again, one of the reasons that defense is playing so well is Luke Kuechly, as I thought I was a little nervous about him, you know, with his head being like that. But my goodness, he's really, really good still.
He's a beast.
Drew Brees.
He's just a very smart football player. He's a very smart football player who can key ignite and diagnose very, very quickly. He can anticipate a lot of what's happening. And, you know, rarely do you get him on something twice. You know, you might game plan something and, you know, you get him the first time and then you feel like you can go run it again. And he's right where you're going to be running the ball or throwing the ball or whatever it might be. So he's just an extremely intelligent football player. He's a great leader. He's, gets everybody. You know, you see him just directing traffic all the time, you know, getting guys lined up. At times changing the call to put his defense in a better position, just like the quarterback would. I mean, he is definitely the quarterback of the defense.
Overall in the Panthers' D?
They look very good. They look very good. Extremely disciplined. You know, they got a great, great front seven. And, you know, that have been together for a long time now. Obviously, those linebackers. And then, you know, they rotate that D-line in and out. They got some really good pass rushers and run defenders. You know, they got the young corners that are now into their second years and playing with a lot more confidence. I think the safeties are very good players as well. So all in all, it's a very sound defense that just plays really well together.
Maybe a few problems for our offense. And look, one of the things that concerns me with this game is, and look, don't get me wrong when I'm criticizing Drew Brees, because I think he is one of the best to play to the game. But what I think separates Drew Brees from Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady is when you see Rodgers and Brady going out there against the Seattle defense or the Carolina defense, those guys will stand back there, and I get it, they're 6'3", 6'4", as opposed to Drew being 5'11", but those guys stand back there and take a pounding, and they will eke out a 20-17 win. Drew seems to struggle, much like Peyton Manning did, struggle with the physical defenses who come at you and hit you a lot. And it seems like when we're in games against physical, tough defenses, our offense doesn't perform anywhere near as well as it does.
Sports Hangover continues next. We'll hear a few more bites from some sound. Also, we want to talk about some of the other things that are going on that are interesting. Some headlines just to get some things. The NBA's hope for draft lottery reform Monday. The next time we're on the air, Pelicans Media Day. We'll be live from the Smoothie King Center, right on the scores table we're setting up there. Looking forward to that. Maybe we'll have some players. Coach Gentry as well. I'm not even going to tell him you're fired. How many games? 20?
What?
Before you fire him?
Hey, look, I'm giving him a fair chance. I want to see what Chris Finch's offense looks like.
What is a fair chance for Gentry?
If Gentry comes out and gets the ball to Davis and Cousins in the blocks,
right,
I will be off his you-know-what.
Okay.
Come on, Pelicans!
That's coming up on Monday. When we come back, we'll touch on some other things. And Jay, here's your homework assignment for the break. Alabama, Clemson, who should be number one? We'll be back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Try not to make people panic here. Pepito is not helping at all.
Not at all.
Why? What would you like to bring up?
Well, here's the deal, Gus. A few seasons ago, 2014.
Go ahead.
Remember the Saints and Panthers at the Dome?
Uh-huh.
Remember the final score was? Week 14, December 7th.
Was that the game that we talked about for a long time?
It was the worst
time.
Sporting event I've ever been to in my life.
You left, remember? And not only did you leave, but you were talking about on the show
they
about
scored
the
almost,
amount of people that left.
Yeah, the Panthers scored almost 30 points by halftime.
Yeah.
Final score, 41-10. Different teams, different years, got
So you're saying.
I'm just saying, I think there's a possibility.
No.
This could happen.
This team can't score right now in Carolina.
Yeah, but it's against the Saints.
Thank you.
Let me tell you something. If that happens, It is going to be panic time.
Forget it.
Because then they really would be the elixir. Stop it.
I'm just saying it could happen.
Stop
I don't want it to happen.
The panic
I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying it could.
Anyway, before we continue with this, got to pass along. I wish it was better news. We're bringing in the graph here. At NT Graph's way to follow on Twitter. No, it's not. It's not Dodger Cub related. Anyone that knows me obviously knows that I am a dog lover for sure. And Todd, you have a fella that is he's missing, and we need to try to help find him.
Yeah, Gus, and again, I didn't want to do this, but it's getting desperate now, and I want to thank Eric Asher, one of your compadres who helped me out just a little while ago as well. But yeah, our family dog got out two nights ago. In the uptown area, in the Carrollton area, around Carrollton and Jeanette, and we have not seen him since. We're obviously very, very upset about this, and we're trying to take all the necessary steps to get him back. We you know, go out in the neighborhood. I walked around there again this morning, calling for him. We've got flyers up in the area. We've just talked to people who are out walking their dogs, and just the thing is, he wasn't wearing his collar when he got out, but he does have a chip in his body. So he's a boxer. He's got one eye. His left eye was removed a few years ago, so it's pretty distinct. He's tan colored, white underbelly with a white stripe, vertical stripe on his face. Cutest dog in the world, sweetest dog in the world, and we just really want him home. And again, if you're in the uptown area, we post it on Facebook, my wife's Facebook page, my Facebook page. A lot of our friends have helped and shared. So the word is out. We just need somebody to see him and bring him in. If you bring him into a shelter or SPCA or wherever, we can get him back because they will check for a chip. And once they do that, we'll be in great shape. But somebody's got to find him and bring him in, and we're looking.
I hear you, man. Well, I know when we were on our way over here, Pepita and I actually went along a route that some people said they saw him to see if we could see him as well, man. And we'll do whatever we can to help out, Jay.
Todd, what's his name? Because I've got employees. I can pass that on to him.
His name is Nola.
Will he go up?
Pretty simple.
Will he go up to strangers?
Well, he has if he was with me. Now, by himself, I'm not sure. He will go up to other dogs, and that's why, again, he's very, very friendly. And that's why, again, I've been talking to people who are walking dogs, because if he is out and a dog, and if someone's walking a dog, he'll go up to the dog. No dog really scares him at all. So that's kind of what I was been hoping, that somebody would have seen him in that aspect.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you coming on a little bit. We'll pass on the word as we can. Facebook as well. Just look up Todd. You'll see a picture exactly what Nola looks like, man.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Anna and I were sick to our stomachs Wednesday when it happened. He had gotten done with the coach's show. He shows up. He's not in the yard that they let him out to use the facilities there.
Dude, my brother lost a dog that I was really close to because I can't have a dog.
It's hard, too.
It's losing a family member, man.
There's pictures of his kids laying on him, taking a nap. I mean, they're already attached.
They're family members.
Yeah,
they're absolutely family members.
And it's not cool outside either. It's warm. So
yeah.
If you see a boxer with one eye, it's probably a good shot that it's Nola. So, just saying.
If you don't know how to get in touch with Todd, get in touch with Gus. Get in touch with Old Saint, and we'll get him. We'll get him home.
Trust me, we check Twitter every 5 seconds. I have a Twitter problem, so yeah. Just if you see him, or you just grab him. He's not going to bite.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's a shame. Hopefully, it'll be a happy reunion.
Yeah,
for sure. One of the things that we wanted to touch about in this game too, that I think is going to be interesting in terms of matchups, right? Christian McCaffrey is going to be a guy that. I think I'm interested to see how he puts pressure on the Saints defense. I don't know. You know, I've tried to see what he's done the last two games. I mean, it's You know, again, by the way, we're talking about him in preseason. I thought he'd be girly like right now with six TDs and all that other stuff. Again, the Panthers' offense is struggling right now, but they've changed their philosophy, right? They want to be more of a get the ball out early out of his hands, try to limit the amount of times Cam Newton gets hit, which he has been getting hit. But here's Sean Payton on Christian McCaffrey.
Well, look, he provides a variable personnel groupings. When he enters the game, you know, there are a handful of things that you got to defend. A, I think he's a very good runner. B, you see him in the passing game, and then you see him in roles which you have to defend, and it might be with Stewart on the field as well. So they've done a good job in the first 2 weeks of really getting in and out of a handful of personnel groupings, but forcing you to account for him. He's versatile. Obviously, we're very familiar with the player, having just come out. And then we haven't even talked about his special team snaps.
Now, Jay, we pulled up Bills-Panthers box score, and Buffalo has a pretty decent defense.
Yeah.
I mean, they do. McCaffrey, 8 carries, 10 yards. Carolina just rushed for 77 as a team. And receiving-wise, it tossed it to him 4 times for 34 yards. That's not a game-changing, you know, type of stat line or things of that nature. So if that is similar to what the Saints defense can do, I think you absolutely live with it, obviously. You know, it's interesting because Tyler Davidson said, look, to try to compare and contrast both running backs, they do different things, obviously. And one of the things that he thinks it will be a challenge for is if Carolina's going to try to establish that run a little bit more, as I said, 77, that's not what they want to do. I think they want to, it'll help Cam Newton. He got sacked 6 times last week.
Yes.
So, again, there's 2 things to go into this game. If the Saints defense can't stop this offense, and if the Saints defense can't sack Cam Newton, I mean, 6 sacks is a lot in the game, man.
It is, but you're talking about a team who's gotten zero pressure on quarterbacks in the first
2 weeks.
I disagree.
I think they got a lot of pressure on Brady. They just didn't bring him down. They didn't finish the deal. I mean, they had pressure on him on the outside. They had pressure on Bradford. They just couldn't bring him down.
Here's the thing that I need to see.
See, no pressure to me is where it looks like 7-on-7.
Right, trip. When he's got he looks like he's 10 yards in, behind the defensive line.
Right.
My concern for this game, because I've seen it in the first 2 games, is the Saints have no answer for crossing routes. Minnesota ran crossing route after crossing route, and they couldn't do anything with it.
Right.
The Patriots
did similar things as
well. A little bit different,
but
they were kind of running wheel routes. They were running some wheel routes on picks.
The word's out there. The matchup is the linebackers.
Yes.
People want to put – again, I'm just telling you right now. They're going to – Christian McCaffrey on Anzalone. Christian McCaffrey on A.J. Clyde. I mean, it's happening. It's coming Sunday.
And here's the deal.
What is going to be the same – now, they tried Vaccaro on Gronk and stuff, you know, and again – I mean, a lot of people have trouble stopping. So
yes.
Do you put Vaccaro McCaffrey?
You got to put a safety on him. That's you cannot even start the conversation with a linebacker on McCaffrey. He's too quick. He's too fast. I think you might have to put Lattimore on him.
Lattimore may not play. Remember a concussion.
That's true. Oh, boy, you're really talking about it. If Lattimore can't go, you're in.
You put Bell?
I'm not sure a safety can handle him.
Williams and Vaccaro in the back? You put Vaccaro with them?
You may have to go with a Ken Crawley or something like that. I don't know. Gus, if Lattimore is not there, then I believe they got to go to a straight zone.
Here's Tyler Davidson on the Panthers running backs, Jonathan Stewart and McCaffrey, and how they compare and contrast one another.
You know, Jonathan Stewart's a good, you know, big back. He runs the ball hard. You know, so that's one of those guys that you really got to chop him down and remind him, you know, that he's running the ball, you know. Remind him every time, you know, that he got 11 guys chasing after him every play. And then McCaffrey, you know, he's a good young guy. You know, spry, you know, he's athletic. You know, another guy running to contain. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to everybody doing their job.
Hey, at least like Davidson's attitude there, remind him. They ain't remind anybody.
If Lattimore is not there, then I think the Saints have to go to a zone. That would eliminate crossing patterns. And it's
interesting you say that, more zone or more man. And it's something that we've seen the mix, but really almost kind of stick to it. And right now, I go back to what we're talking about with LSU. What is the Saints' identity right now? What are
they
trying to do? You know, and that's – it's
– I mean, look, offensively, you've scored three touchdowns. Two have been in garbage time.
Here's the other thing, too. Let's quickly switch to the other side of the football. On offense, you're going to see again, you know, Andres Pete, left tackle. You're going to see Ryan Ramczyk, right tackle. Pete on how he thought he did.
I feel like I did all right, you know, having a few days to prepare. But I feel like, you know, it's going to be better this week that I have more, you know, the full week to get ready.
I feel bad for this guy. They can't find somewhere to stick him in. And, again, and, I mean, this is injury related as to why they do that. But the Panthers defense he's going to face.
Yeah, they're a talented defensive front, obviously. So, you know, we're going to have to be on our A game, you know, come Sunday.
I think you're going to have to live knowing they're going to have negative plays. They're going to have hits on Drew. They're going to have runs, TFLs, tackle for loss. I think the thing that always kills the Saints at Carolina is one big dreaded turnover that winds up either becoming a pick six or a fumble. Got to avoid that. But at the same time, they can't do what they did at Minnesota and pull back the playbook and not be aggressive because of fear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
I was shocked when Sean Payton and Drew Brees said that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there has to be a sense of urgency. You're losing to the Patriots big, and you never go to the hurry-up offense throughout the entire game.
That's an interesting point. They never really did try
to
bring up tempo.
You have to take what is given to
you.
What,
now, again, though, is it because if you don't do it at defense, they can't stop anybody gets back on the field? So you got to remember that.
I get that. But, Gus, yeah. If you're not scoring, you're not going to win the game anyway.
Yeah, but you can't. I think you have to prolong it.
So you're going to lose either way. You're going to lose either way.
You're going to lose either way.
How are we going to lose? Quick
Final
or fast?
Segment when we come back. Jay, you've yet to tell me, Alabama or Clemson, who should be number one? And also some interesting storylines around the NFL as well. We'll touch on that. We'll wrap up the show live from Lisa McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. All right, Jay, some of the top games over in the NFL. We touched on some, and you heard the college football music there. One of the things you want to look at, of course, in the SEC, an article by ESPN, we touched on this yesterday in Game Time, is the SEC the shell of its former self when you take a look at some of the other teams maybe not being as strong as they had in the past, and really no competition for Alabama? Do you think it's a cakewalk for them this year?
I think Mississippi State can give them fits. I really do think Mississippi State could give them fits, but after that, I don't see anybody in the East who can handle them. I think their biggest competition is going to come from outside the SEC and either an Oklahoma State, who I don't think is going to match up well with Alabama, but we've yet to see Alabama really play a good team. I think Clemson, you may be looking at a rematch as much as people don't want to see it.
Right.
You might be looking at Clemson-Alabama again.
Part three. When you take a look at the rest of college football here as well, 12, you're buying or not buying?
Big 12?
Yeah.
Overall conference?
Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, I mean.
Oklahoma,
ranked.
Oklahoma is the kicker because you were always able, and this is how I felt. I compared Les Miles to Bob Stoops. That was the guy that was going to lose a couple of games that he shouldn't have every year. He's gone, and I'm curious to see if this is going to be a different team. If Oklahoma's for real, they're moving up the ladder quick. If they fall off and have a bad loss under Lincoln Riley, I think Oklahoma State is one of those teams. They'll blow out a lot of bad teams,
surprised,
but can they beat
not
Alabama?
Surprised that the second-ranked team in the top 25 in the SEC is Georgia.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. I don't think they're there yet.
Take on Mississippi State this weekend.
That's going to be an interesting game, and if they play Mississippi State well, then that might be deserved.
All right. Interesting enough. One of the things on the NFL schedule and slate that I guess stands out to me, we talked about Atlanta, Detroit with Raphael here as well. A game that interests me just because Giants-Eagles. Philly's a 6-point favorite at home, which is a lot. Ben McAdoo calling out Eli Manning. Now, Eli, I thought, addressed it well, and a lot of national folks said he handled it perfectly, saying, hey, look, we're grown men. If you can't handle criticism, today's day and age, athletes need to be coached. I want to be coached. He handled it great. Man, I've seen, whether it's Sports Nation, First Take, whatever, they're crushing McAdoo, and I think, right, I cannot believe he threw them under the bus. He has a left tackle that can't block anybody. He has no run game, and the receivers can't make a catch. How is it the quarterback's fault? The last thing you need to be doing is ripping a guy that I think is a reason you even can have a chance to win, to be honest with you. I don't know. I was surprised by that, and it didn't take long for people on social media to go, if things don't go where they're, Sean Payton to New York already.
You know, I thought McAdoo should have been ripped for that, because you always start that out with, we got to get that playoff, not you. My quarterback has to get that playoff. Now, unless that's something they worked in practice on week after week after week and Eli continues not to get it, which I find hard to believe, then he's justified in saying that. But you need to bring that up and say, we've worked on this. It's got to happen. I think there's serious problems in New York. I think that's why this line's up a little higher.
Gino Auriemma is a guy that brings out a lot of headlines, a lot of attention when it comes to women's basketball, obviously, with his Huskies, right?
Yeah.
A little attention here, and tell me if this may lead the way to certain things. Remember, a lot of stories have come out that Coach Saban is the highest-paid state employee in Alabama, things of that nature. Unless, you know, your coaches, and should state institutions, even though we all know that money comes from, like, donors and stuff like that, but still, have the salary they do. Well, over in Connecticut, they're having a budget battle, an education budget battle. So Coach Auriemma has offered to go unpaid next year in response to criticism over high salaries at UConn. He makes $2 million next year, and he offered to forego his pay after reading comments from a lawmaker who justified his cuts by saying that a lot of people at UConn make a lot of money. So he says, you know what, quote, I'll tell you what, I'll work for free next year. I'll give up what the state pays me, what the taxpayers are paying me, but guess what? I pay my taxes. I don't care how much money it costs for me to have good schools where I live in Manchester. My kids don't go to school there. I can afford it. So he says, I'll do it fine, because he's being called out by that. My whole thing about this, too, is a lot of times is the money always being allocated and appropriately spent? You know, it's like, are you going after him? He's one of the reasons people even know anything about Connecticut right now. You know, he's as big of an ambassador, as big a reason that brings in money. Because if he doesn't win and he doesn't do that stuff, stores doesn't get the revenue from those games, you know?
My question to the lawmaker would be, would you be willing to give up your salary since you're criticizing Auriemma?
That doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
No.
But hold yourself to the same standard you hold others to.
No, I totally agree. No doubt about it. And finally, the NBA draft lottery reform. Apparently, a lot of people want this. The league's pushing forward with their owners. What do you think at the end of the day? Do you like the NBA lottery the way it is right now?
I think you should just give it to the worst team. I don't like the lottery. I think give it to the worst team.
Saints-Panthers, who you got?
Panthers.
Pepito, Saints-Panthers, who do you got?
I hope Jay and I are wrong.
I do too.
I'm saying Panthers.
You know what? I'm going Saints. Be sure to stop by on Sunday. Buffalo Wild Wings, corner of Vets and Severn and Metairie, will be there right after the game. Come watch it with us. Matt Moscone up next on ESPN New Orleans.